Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Welcome back to the latest episode of Inside Boxing Live. It is powered by PPV.com. Your host, Dan Canobio, and the traveling man, Chris Algieri, who is touched down in the continental USA where he belongs. He might be an international man of mystery. Chris, where are you in the world right now? What's going on in Chris Algieri's life? This show has just become, what is Chris Algieri doing? Where is he? I am just a passenger on the ride of Chris Algieri.
Well, we're going to date ourselves here. If any of our listeners remember, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? That's pretty much what I'm doing. Where in the world is the champ, Chris Algieri? I'm actually in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Just got in this morning. We have fights this weekend. Lamont Roach is fighting Fergal McCrory. First defense of his title, fighting in his hometown. That's tomorrow night, live on ProBox TV. So check me out there. Yeah, man, it's good to be home, I guess.
So Europe to South Florida to D.C.
Yep. And then back to Miami tomorrow on Saturday morning to call the Teofimo fight.
That's just the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
Sandwiching vacations with work, man. It's no rest for the wicked.
I just booked. I'm going to be going to the Jake Paul Mike Perry fight, which is in your neck of the woods. Or not really. It's in Tampa.
Tampa.
July 20th, and then
that's like my second South Florida home, though, Tampa, because I'm over there all the time for Pro Box.
Then from there, there is a MVP show the following weekend in Orlando, and instead of flying back to New York, the team MVP is transporting the entire team via bus or sprinter van or something nice to from Tampa to Orlando on Saturday morning. So I'll be spending 10 full days in Florida.
That's awesome. I'll have to, maybe I'll come, depending on what the dates are, maybe I'll come out there. We'll do in a junto show where we're together.
I'm thinking of like going to
Tampa. Tampa and Orlando is not far.
It's an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's an easy hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm 10 days in Orlando, 10 days in Florida. I'm going to embrace it. You know, I'm going to become a Florida man. I'm going to buy a bunch of tank tops, maybe get into meth. I don't know. 10 days.
You gotta spend some time with alligators. Lizards are a big part of South Florida living.
Wrestle.
Definitely tank tops are involved. Meth is dealer's choice, whether you wanna dabble. Drinking is a big part. Gotta drink.
Oh yeah, that's a given.
That's a lot
Todd Grisham
cocktails.
Is involved in this. Todd Grisham is involved in this. Oh. We'll be drinking.
All right, so you can throw in some other vices then. So that's
So that's what's going on. Well, Chris, you'll be on the call Saturday night for Teofimo Lopez versus Steve Claggett, your ESPN broadcast debut. I know we've talked about this many times on the show. I want to just give you another round of applause and say that we as the Inside Boxing Live community are very happy for you. Did you pack your Miami Vice suit?
White linen suit, alpargata shoes. Bro, I'm ready.
And you're ready to call that alongside our guy, Joe Tess.
Joe Tess, that's right. We had meetings all week. ESPN's no joke, man. I've worked for a lot of companies, obviously, but they take this thing very, very serious. So this is a whole week of work. I mean, dealing with multiple team members. We were on a Zoom, and there was like 40 people on Monday. You know, I'm on vacation. I'm like, all right, clocked in. I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's a very good thing. It's the way it's supposed to be done. You know, this is a real network that does things the proper way, and they leave no stone unturned.
That's Saturday night on ESPN. Steve Claggett, the real life Rocky, getting in there with Teofimo Lopez. We'll preview that fight. Also Saturday night from Phoenix, Arizona, Bam Rodriguez taking on Juan Francisco Estrada. We've had this fight circled on the calendar for a very, very long time. We'll start there with our previews. I love this fight. I don't see how this is going to be a bad fight. Bam Rodriguez is one of the 10 best boxers in the world today, in my opinion. He is disposing of these legends one fight at a time, and now he takes on Juan Francisco Estrada, who's 34 years old, who some have in their top 10, who is a decorated fighter in his own right for his title at Superfly. The legacy of Bam is still being built right now at age 24, and he's going up against the old lion in Juan Francisco Estrada. I just don't see how this could be a bad fight. I think this is going to be an amazing shootout in Phoenix, Arizona.
Bro, I'm so excited for this fight. This is a fantastic matchup. I wish that Estrada was a little more active, you know, right, when this fight is happening. And obviously, he's older for the weight class. I think he's 33. You know, he hasn't fought in quite some time. So that's a bit of an issue for me based on his age and inactivity. But other than that, I mean, you can't ask for a better fight or better matchup. You mentioned, you know, that Bam is now just collecting heads of all the legends of these weight classes. The only guy that is really left is Chocolatito, if he gets past Estrada. And, you know, he beat Quadras, who is another one of those guys. He's another one of those four horsemen that are up there. Rung Vasai is a beast. He's beaten both Estrada and Chocolatito. Beat Chocolatito twice, even stopped him one time, and then Estrada came back to beat him. Another really interesting thing about Estrada is he has beaten every man he's ever stepped in the ring with.
Right.
Now, let me say that again. He beat every guy. He's lost to those guys, but then he's come back to avenge his losses. So sometimes more than once. Really, I mean, super impressive record. Even Estrada is one of those guys who's in a lot of people's top 10 pound-for-pound fighters out there today. And aside from being superly skillful, he's so exciting. He throws a ton of punches. He's in there. He counters. He's got good power. He goes down. He gets up. He comes back to win. I mean, and then Bam is Bam. Listen, we applaud Bam every time we get an opportunity on this show. So this is a very, very, you guys can tell I'm very excited for this fight. It's a very, very excellent matchup. And like you said, Dan, I don't see how this isn't a good fight.
Yeah, he's taken out, Bam Rodriguez has taken out Rung Vasai, Quadras. Rung Vasai,
Sonny Edwards.
Sonny Edwards is not considered like the four.
Not one of the legendary guys, but right. Yeah, it's...
But, you know, if he beats Estrada, which he should, he is heavily favored. I don't know if we get the Chocolatito fight. They sparred,
I don't think so,
10 rounds, yeah. And Virgil Ortiz tweeted, it was the best piece of sparring and the most magical thing I've ever seen was Bam and Chocolatito sparring for 10 rounds. They're very good friends. They share a promoter in Mr. Tekken. They are under the DAZN banner. They work with Matchroom. It could be done. If it makes dollars, it makes sense. Like right now, they're saying, I don't know if we want to fight each other, but come on. They throw enough money at that. Chocolatito's coming back and fighting in July. That's on ESPN Plus. He hasn't fought in quite a while. Actually, he hasn't fought since the last Estrada fight, which I thought that he arguably could have picked up the decision there. Yeah. It's not a fight I have to see, but if Bam wants to really clear out everyone, and I'm not trying to jump ahead here and get past Estrada because Estrada's a very tough test. Yeah,
yeah,
there is a fight with Bam and Chocolatito. Bam is also talking about Inoue. I don't know what weight that would be at because right now this one's at one. Have to be at 122. Bam is a smaller guy, but he's also a younger guy, so he's going to grow. But I don't want to jump ahead too much. I want to talk about the actual fight here. You talk about Estrada, Chris, and his prolific output. 74 punches thrown per round. That's number 7 in all of boxing. He lands 24 punches per round, which is also top 10. Most of his punches are power shots, and we've seen this in boxing. It's one of my favorite things. The volume puncher versus the counter puncher. Bam Rodriguez is a counter puncher. He is a brilliant, brilliant fighter with some of the best footwork in boxing today. Will Estrada throw 75 punches around? Probably not. I love keeping an eye on that inside, you know, a little inside boxing right there. Will Estrada lower his volume, or will he go in there and pressure Bam, who can be hit? We've seen from Bam in some of his recent fights, he can be touched up a little bit. So that right there is an intriguing little storyline inside of the ring.
Yeah, and will he get touched up? Yes, he will. And will Estrada throw as many punches as he normally does? No. So I think it's going to be kind of like when hot meets cold. You're going to get something right in between, right? Yeah. So they're going to balance each other out. They're going to get to some kind of static equilibrium in terms of, you know, counter punching versus volume puncher. The funny thing is, you know, stylistically, the way you beat a sharp counter puncher is with volume. You don't want to sit there and go box and go tit for tat with a guy who's a great counter puncher, because you generally lose, because they lose the moment. They win the moments and they land the bigger, more eye catching shots. The way you beat a sharp counter puncher is to punch through their counters and overwhelm them. Problem is, you got to be able to take the shots coming in. There's an opportunity here for that, because this is not Bam's not a one-punch guy. He's not a guy. None of these guys really are at that weight class besides Inoue. They're not going to crack you with a counter and then completely stop you dead or put you on your butt. They're both, you know, more guys that get you on attrition. So there is an opportunity for a guy like Estrada, if he still has that gas tank and that battery at his age, to go out there and push that pace and punch through the sharp shots of Bam. And Bam, though, man, his angles. I think that's going to be the big difference. And because he's not going to stand there and trade unless he wants to, which is why it's great that he has this training with Chocolatito, because Chocolatito throws a billion punches, and I don't think that'll ever go away. So he had to actually be in with somebody who throws those kind of punches. But Bam then cuts an angle. He makes those quick, aggressive turns. Boom. It's very difficult for a guy who throws a lot of combinations, a guy who is a pressure guy, to deal with the footwork and the counters. So that's one thing. Good counter punch is one thing, like a Juan Manuel Marquez, one of the best counter punchers who's ever lived. But he didn't cut angles. He stood right in front of you, waited for you to come. He pulled back a little bit, bang, 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 bang. Bam now creates that angle as well. And it's like, ugh, now you got this sharp counter puncher who creates openings, which is what impresses me the most about him being such a young fighter. His ability to create openings against top-notch guys. Is he going to be able to do that with Estrada, with the volume he's throwing? There's so many questions in this fight. That's why it's such a great fight.
Yeah, Estrada, 34 years old, been on the scene.
Oh, he is 34. I thought he was 33.
34, yeah. Been on the scene for over 12 years. He had a close loss to Chocolatito in 2012. That was his, like, coming out party. And these smaller fighters, like, these lower weights, like, they tend to have shorter careers, but not this, like, fearsome foursome that we're talking about. Like, Chocolatito has turned back the hands of times numerous times. Saur Rungvisai was fighting into his early 30s, mid 30s. Where
Chocolatito is basically the phoenix rising from the ashes.
It's unbelievable, man.
He got crushed by Rungvisai, and then he comes back and beats Martinez. Crazy. Sorry to cut
you. It's crazy that, like, all these guys have stayed around long enough for a Bam at age 24, 10 years younger than Estrada, to pick them off one by one. But Estrada kind of reminds me of a Marquez in a way, that he's so technical, but he has a little bit more power than Marquez. Bam as well, like, so technical there too. Doesn't exactly have that one punch power, Bam, but he has some insane numbers. We just told you about Estrada's numbers. Bam, number one among all championship caliber fighters in power punch connect rate, 48.8%. That's insane. I mean, that is just... Yeah, and that's the type of fighter he is. And the numbers against Rungvisai were off the charts, like 50, 60%.
Numbers
for Squadras are off the charts. And I posted something on social media yesterday. It was just like, you talked about how, like, he's taking out head after head. And I just got the pictures of all the guys that he's taken out from BoxRec. And I put Bam on top. And it was just like all the names that he's taken out. And for the most part, people were like, this guy's he's doing it. Pound for pound. And it was a few people like, well, you know, a lot of those guys are up there in age, Rungvisai and Quadras and Estrada now too at age 34. But listen, it's the way he's doing it. It's the way he can only fight who's in front of you. Like, Bam Rodriguez is in an unbelievable position, because look at someone like Shakur Stevenson, who has all the skills in the world, who's just as talented as Bam Rodriguez, but just doesn't have the dance partner. It doesn't have the it's all about politics in boxing. Just isn't with the right promotion to get the fights that are going to put him over. Bam is in the right position. He's has these names that have become household names in the boxing world because of, like, HBO, their commitment to Superfly, and now DAZN's commitment to Superfly. But it's also the way he's doing it. Like, he is just dominating these guys. He had that one questionable performance against, was it Israel Gonzalez, where Bam broke his jaw. And I just think that was I think it was his fourth fight of 2022. He was just running through the gauntlet, and he's taking some time back. But yeah, these guys are up there in age, and he's the favorite against a lot of these guys. But the manner in which he is dominating them is super impressive, and I think that should be taken into account.
No, it has to be, and like you said, they're the older guys. Yes, they're the old guard. But, you know, those are the guys that he's supposed to be fighting. They're still the top guys in the weight class. That's the thing. Like, it's funny. You mentioned those photos and showing the tree. And yeah, they're older, but they're still at the top. These are still the guys that you have to beat. And he's doing it, and he's doing it impressively. And I mean, he's just been on a run. But more than anything, for me, he has the mentality of a young champion that's missing today. The concept that, hey, I can beat everybody in the world, put them in front of me and I will beat them. I want to fight everyone. We're in a lost era. I saw a great interview of James Toney, and he called this the pussy era because the fighters don't want to fight each other. He goes, my era was tougher. My era was better than this era. And because this is a pussy era, these guys don't want to fight nobody. I mean, he's like, back in my day, we fought everybody. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. And that's where you've got a guy like Bam, who's a throwback. He wants to fight everybody. I want to fight everybody in the world, man. That's the mindset that you want to have in a young fighter. He doesn't care about money and politics and getting there. He's like, I just want to fight, bro. He's like, I've heard him say that. I don't care about money. I want to fight. And that's I think, what's missing. Granted, he's in a smaller weight class where it's much easier to make these fights. I always compare the small weight classes with the women, right? Because everybody fights each other. There's just not as many, you know, top names. There's not a big a billing, and it's much easier to get the top fighters to fight each other. Which is why what you mentioned earlier was brilliant about Chocolatito. Yeah, can they make that fight happen? Absolutely. And I'm kind of thinking as you were talking, I'm like, you know what? That fight probably is going to happen. As long as Chocolatito wins this next fight, and as long as Bam gets Paddy Estrada, why not give Roman Chocolatito one more payday? You know, it'll make sense for both guys. We're all for it. And if their sparring is that good and Bam goes out there and, you know, does what he does and they both get paid, well, everybody wins.
Right. And Virgil Ortiz, who's not like some like Ryan Garcia type, he's not like some shock value fighter of today. For him to come out and tweet that,
he's the opposite, actually.
Right. He's like he's the opposite. So when he tweets and when he talks, I listen. And for him to say it was some of the best sparring and some of like the best boxing I've ever seen. Like that's good enough for me, and you're right. Like there's a reason why Chocolatito's fighting this comeback fight in his home city is because he probably wants one more run at it, and he deserves one more run at it. And if anyone can turn back the hands of time, it's Chocolatito. Did you say Ray Martinez popped for all sorts of PEDs? And
I didn't see that.
Chocolatito beat him, a guy in his prime, juiced out of his mind, and Chocolatito grown manned him. That was in like 2022 or yeah, I want to say. But yeah, I love this.
He popped
this
recently?
Fight. Yeah. Ray Martinez. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got like a 2-year ban. He got like around. Diuretics, all sorts of different PEDs and stuff, which I think is not his first positive. So they might have came down a little bit more harsh on him. Point being, Chocolatito took him down while he was on 27 years old while he was on PEDs, so he still got it. I don't see how this, if both are at their best, this should be like a fight of the year type of fight. If Estrada can push the pace and even throw 65 punches instead of his 75, 60, and Bam can use his angles and be precise, then, you know, as we know in boxing, styles make fights. According to DraftKings right now, Bam Rodriguez is a minus 475 favorite, so he's a pretty substantial favorite there,
as he should be based on what I said earlier about him being older and being out of the ring for so long and the fact that it's Bam
Estrada. I mean, excuse me, Rodriguez to stop Estrada plus 160, Rodriguez by decision plus 110. So there is some value in that category if you think that Bam can stop these fighters, which he doesn't have concussive one punch power. But he has stopped these guys. He has accumulated so much.
He stopped Rungvisai very impressively.
Right, and Quadra. So precise that it just accumulates to the point where the seventh or eighth round, the referee's either going to step in or the corner is going to step in. And it's like, there's no reason my guy should be taking any more punishment. That's the type of fighter that Bam is. I love this fight. I like Bam. Decision, probably. But I would keep an eye on the stoppage just because of Estrada being 34 and not fighting in quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the stoppage happens, honestly. I think that Estrada's not, I mean, he's never really shown to a guy to be super vulnerable, one to one punch power, which Bam doesn't really have, but also being overwhelmed, and that's kind of his bread and butter. He kind of goes and, you know, with the flow. And these smaller weights, you're not having, like you said, that concussive power. So I would think that the best bet would be a decision for Bam, or just money line, whatever. But either way, I think it's going to be fun.
You could take the over 10.5. There's not much value there in that one. Rest of the card, Sonny Edwards is on this card. He's fighting Adrian Curiel. Yamalith Mercado versus Ramla Ali. I like Ramla Ali.
She came back in that fight amazing, and then came back to beat Guzman who defeated her.
Right.
That was a fight of the year, women's fight. And then she came back and to actually squeak out a victory. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's on this card as well. It's a regular DAZN on Saturday night, two screen type of night, because over in Miami, well, you'll be on the call with Joe Tess. Teofimo Lopez is back in action, taking on Steve Claggett. It's a Teofimo fight week. I know you love Teofimo fight weeks, Chris. I know you have your pro box duties, but have you heard anything? What's going on in Miami right now? Because it's kind of quiet. Teofimo Lopez is, I consider, one of the top 10 names in boxing, but he's fighting a relatively unknown fighter in Steve Claggett. It's not getting the hype of a tank fight. It's not getting the hype of even a Shakur. It's not getting the hype of Haney or Ryan Garcia. I don't know if that bothers Teofimo. Half the time we talk about Teofimo, we're bringing up his mental state. Where is he at? Is he going to be up for a fight like this? Have you heard anything from anyone of your comrades, boots on the ground in Miami?
So, unfortunately, no. Which usually spells disaster for Teofimo Lopez. The more that's going on, and the worse he looks mentally, the better he performs. The fact that there's no hype around this, and the fact that no one's worried about the antics, that he's not, you know, getting in trouble for certain things throughout the week, the fact that he's not breaking down to tears during interviews, that's not a good sign for him. Because I've been through these fight weeks with him. You know, the Lomachenko fight, so the Richard Comey fight. I called all these fights. And I was going through fight week. Yeah, I mean, going through those fight weeks, I was always like, oh my God, this guy's not, I don't think this guy's going to even make it to the fight. The mental breakdowns. But I always say this, he is a chaos actor that he thrives being in chaotic moments. He wants to be in the eye of the storm. When his back is against the wall, he performs his best. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like Claggett is the kind of guy who's notching that needle to make him feel like he's in danger, which makes him very dangerous, because we've seen, even on the last, I was looking at T.O.'s record, obviously, I've been studying all week, but his last four fights, not a lot of great performances in there. You know, it basically is the Josh Taylor fight, you know, and then, you know, his last one was Jermaine Ortiz. Very, very disputed fight, very disputed decision. A lot of people had Jermaine Ortiz winning that fight. You've got the Josh Taylor, amazing, amazing performance, absolutely tremendous. Blows everybody's thought of that fight out of the water. All these experts, except for you, was picking Josh Taylor. No, you picked Teo.
I don't know. Everyone was picking that.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody was picking Josh Taylor. You said
statute of limitations have expired on that. Oh. Am I taking any?
Wow,
else?
You're not taking. Wow. No. I'm saying you were right, because everyone was picking Josh Taylor, and then you right. said yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
You confused the hell out of me there, Dan. I'm trying to give you props. You wouldn't take him.
I'm used to you shitting on my gambling. So
Come on. When we go head to head, I always win. So I have to, yeah, you know.
It's true.
Josh Taylor, you know, fight was fantastic. Before that, Sandor Martin. A lot of people had Teo losing that fight. Mm. You know, then you got. The Mexican guy that he fought, he looked okay. That was his first fight at 140.
Pedro Campa.
And then he had the Kambosos disaster, you know. And that was at
135, though.
135, right. So all the fights at 140, not a lot of great performances. One stellar, one so-so, and two really bad. And the guys weren't anything super special. And now he's got a guy, again, not super special, but, you know, is he going to come up for this fight, or is he going to fight to the level of his competition?
Teofimo at 140. He's had five fights at 140. Excuse me, four fights at 140. He's 4-0 with one stoppage. Like you said, outstanding versus Taylor. Questionable against Sandor Martin and Ortiz. In terms of his numbers, like his power punch percentage has gone up because he's throwing less punches at 140. He's not a prolific volume puncher at all.
No, Teofimo. He's kind of
very selective. Very selective. He's a counterpuncher. It's why he did not look good against Sandor Martin, because first of all, no one looks good against Sandor Martin.
No.
Number two, Sandor Martin was also like a counterpuncher, and
he's also very good.
That's another thing too. It's like the Sandor Martin win, quote unquote, is looking good. The Josh Taylor win is not aging well, because Josh Taylor, that was clearly on the decline. That was lost to Catterall. But
I hate to say it, but Taylor looks to be a shot fighter. At this point, he is
100%. I mean, the shine is worn off him, but you can't take away how Teofimo looked in there. Like, that was Teofimo of old. You know, he just looked so explosive that night. Haven't seen that yet, But as we just talked about with Bam and Estrada, how styles make fights. Steve Claggett, step on up. Who is Steve Claggett? He's 38-7. He is the real-life Rocky. This is his first title shot. He's never fought past the 10th round. But let's talk about a guy that's going to be tailor-made for Teofimo Lopez. Averaged 102 punches thrown per round over his last four fights.
Those are Chris Algieri numbers. Whoa.
Bro, we're not just talking like one fight, two fights, last four. And you add up the rounds, like it's like over 30 rounds. So 102 punches thrown. He's going to stand there. He's going to let his hands go. But the thing about with his opponents, and I don't think Teofimo will do this because he's a way better opponent than anyone Steve Claggett's fought by a country mile. He's forced his opponents to up their tempo. He gets there. Steve Claggett gets his opponents to fight his type of fight. His opponents throw 90 punches a round. So Teofimo's not going to do that. Teofimo's not going to stand in the middle of the ring and fight Steve Claggett's fight. But Steve Claggett's going to fight Steve Claggett's fight because that's all he knows. He's going to come and throw a shit ton of punches. That's why they picked this guy, because Teofimo desperately needs a knockout here. I would look at them, look at the odds now and see what the knockout is. But this is a tailor-made fight for Teofimo to look good. It's not a big name. I'm sure that's not pumping up the ego of Teofimo Lopez this week. I'm sure he's already calling out Crawford and I want to go to 147. Like, dude, you're barely settled in to 140. But I do think we're going to see an explosive knockout just because Claggett is willing and able to stand there.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to poo-poo some of your numbers. The 100 punches around. I'm not poo-pooing you or the numbers. I'm gonna poo-poo the people who are backing Claggett are saying, oh, that's his chance. Yeah, he averaged 102 punches around in four different fights. But the level of competition matters. And you mentioned this before. Guys who throw a lot of punches, when they fight better competition, for multiple reasons. One is the artillery coming back at you. That's number one. All right. When you throw punches, the more time your gloves stay out of defensive position, meaning they're in their offense position, there's more openings. So guys who actually can punch, you're going to have more opportunities than holes to find the target. Two, footwork. Better fighters move better. Better fighters don't get hit as much. It's very difficult to throw combinations when you're not making contact. If you're missing and hitting the air, you're falling off balance. So if you're not making contact, and a guy like Teofimo, who's such a fantastic defensive wizard, who rolls those shoulders, stands in front of you and makes you miss, it's going to be really difficult to throw punches in numbers. So the 102 punches around ain't happening. He ain't getting that many punches off against a defensive wizard of Teofimo Lopez, but also the artillery and counterpunching ability of Teofimo Lopez. One thing Teofimo has looked good at 140 is he looks powerful. He looked very, very strong in the Jermaine Ortiz fight. Couldn't land a lot, but nobody really lands a lot on Ortiz. But looked very, very strong. So I don't see this kid being able to throw 102 punches around, which is his actual path to victory. He's going to have to overproduce against Teofimo Lopez because he is a true counterpuncher. So you just got to overwhelm him. But I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you got to put context to the numbers, and that's always what we've said with CompuBox. But it's just Steve Claggett's instincts is to throw a lot of punches. He's not going to throw 102. He's also not going to stand there and throw in the 30s. Maybe he will. Maybe the pressure will get to him. But this is just what he's done over his last four. Nobody's also did against Madueno. 512 connects. It's the fourth most ever.
Oh, that was the Madueno fight. Oh, okay. We had Madueno on ProBox.
At 140 pounds in the history of CompuBox. So that's what you know when the matchmakers at Top Rank were like, oh, here's this Claggett guy who is going to land 500 punches, or who has landed 500 punches, who has thrown 102 around. Will be there. He's not going to move around in there. He's going to stand in the center, and Teofimo should get a stoppage win. Let's look at some of the odds for this.
But he landed 500 punches in that fight and didn't drop or knock or stop him.
Well, that's how you land 500. Is you have to accumulate them.
Keep that in mind too. Keep that in mind too. You know, yeah.
It's strikeout pitchers in baseball.
Yeah.
Strikeout pitchers in baseball throw a lot of pitches because they work deep counts. If you don't have a lot of, like, you land 512 punches. That's why when you look at the CompuBox all-time leaders, it's usually like the lower weights where it's like the Chocolatitos, mm-hmm. it's the 112 guys that are just throwing arm punches back and forth bah, bah, every single round. So I don't think Claggett has – he's 26 knockouts in his 30 – or in his 40-plus fights. But like you said, like this is – he hasn't fought anyone even close to the caliber of Teofimo Lopez. Teofimo is a minus 1,100 favorite according to DraftKings. Steve Claggett, if you want to put some money down on the Clagster, it's plus 650. Yeah, they don't like that. They like this going, not going too many rounds. The under is 10.5. You get that at minus 120. Claggett, Teofimo by knockout, minus 145. So they don't even like, they don't think Teofimo has power at 140. Like Vegas is like looking at the numbers for Teofimo at 140 and looking at his power kind of declining there and not really thinking, I mean, I would kind of like dabble on one minus 145. Like,
yeah, I mean, I could kind of see a similar situation to, I keep forgetting this poor guy's name, the first 140 fight for Teofimo.
Pedro
Lopez.
Campa.
For Campa, right. In that fight, he didn't look – the power wasn't the same. He was landing such super clean shots on Pedro that were, at 135, putting guys ice cold. And Campa was walking through him. And then finally, he wore him down, was able to land a couple shots and put it together. Because that's one thing Teofimo does. If he hurts you, he's a good closer. If he does stop Claggett, that's how I would see it happening. But I don't know. I feel like Claggett is the bigger man for sure. And – you know, he's durable. He's only been stopped once from what I'm looking at. That was 13 years ago.
Okay, yeah. So maybe that's playing a factor. Minus 145 for that. So that they actually think that's what's going to happen. Teofimo by knockout. Excuse me. I had it backwards. Teofimo by decision is plus money.
I figured that Top Rank was making this fight because it seems like a knockout type fight for Teofimo Lopez. The problem is if he doesn't, even if he wins and wins handily, is that going to be a knock on him?
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like the guy's a lightning rod and everything he does gets under a microscope. His performances have not been good. So they've been able to pick apart him at 140. He doesn't do himself any favors when he says I'm 3-time undisputed when you weren't even 1-time undisputed, but that's just Teofimo being Teofimo. It's unbelievable. The self-belief that you guys have as fighters is should be studied because it's how you power on. Like you need that delusion.
I was going to say self-belief, borderline delusional.
Borderline delusion. You need that. Teofimo seems like someone that needs that. The state of 140 is so weird right now. It just keeps changing.
So weird. Changed.
Because Haney just gave up his belt. It does not.
Haney might not fight at 40 again. Haney might move up. I'm telling you. Watch out.
Haney is the, not that we want to talk about the Haney Ryan thing, but Haney has relinquished or is a champion in recess. Alberto Puello, who beat Gary Antoine Russell.
Looked pretty good in that fight. I was impressed.
He's been elevated.
These fucking elevations. I hate these elevations so much. We need to stop that. There was never elevations until recently, and now they're all the time. It's really stupid.
Well, if you could look at the Puello versus Antoine Russell fight as a title fight then. I mean, it didn't have that distinction heading into it.
But could you?
They're also giving Gary Antoine Russell the first shot at the title coming off of a loss. It just makes no sense.
But being some people with the right people really helps in this sport, man. It's crazy.
Especially Puello, who did PEDs, sits out for a year, comes back. Looks impressive against...
But he was a world champion before that. At least he was already a world champion.
True. He's the champ at WBC. WBA's Pitbull Cruz, who is fighting on the August 3rd card against Valenzuela. IBF is Liam Paro, who upset Subriel Matias. And the WBO champion is Teofimo Lopez. So this 140-pound picture, if Teofimo wants to unify and wants to be in big fights, has gotten so... It's just changing, which is good for boxing. Like, I like parity. I don't like the same names all the time. But Haney is going to leave 140 probably. Ryan Garcia is suspended playing poker, doing stand-up comedy. Pitbull Cruz. Teofimo Pitbull Cruz, I think, would be an awesome fight that, like, I think Saudi would have to get involved with.
Those are the two best guys in the division in my eyes.
Now, yeah. Liam Paro is, like, the wild card guy that could just make anyone look bad. But like, it's not like the point I'm trying to make is like, it's not like this. There's a lot of dance partners for Teofimo in terms of like mega fights, in terms of him getting up for like a Lomachenko or a Taylor in terms of him having a crazy fight week. It's interesting. Interesting times. That's why he's probably looking to 147, which I don't think is a good move, but this is how it works. Like, if there's no one around your division worth fighting, especially Teofimo, who's 26 now, like he's in now his prime earning years, like I guess go to 147 and look, or that's what he's trying to do. Like, I don't know. It's interesting to see, because he will win this fight on Saturday night, and then we will start thinking about him against some of the bigger names. I still like the Tank fight, but that's Tank, and that's just the whole of,
yeah, but we like Tank with everybody. Yawning.
Tank Teofimo, I think, makes sense because Teofimo's on the smaller side. Like,
yeah,
we're running out of these guys. Are just,
I mean, they could make that a catch weight. They could make that at 37.5, because even Teo, he comes in at like 38 for these 40-pound fights.
It seems like Tank and Lomachenko are going to fight each other. Like, the talks are going way too smooth. Like,
way too much sense. This is boxing. That makes sense.
the talks are going way too smooth. Like, Aram is way too, like, positive about it. He's not calling Heyman a cancer. He's not talking shit about PBC. PBC is not stepping away from the table here. I think it's actually, like, a perfect storm, that fight. I'm sure there will be some shenanigans in the next couple of weeks. You know, they walk away from the table. If the fight's in jeopardy. It's not going to be perfect negotiations. But as of now, it looks like Tank's going to fight Lomachenko in November. That means Teofimo, he says he wants to fight. He says activity is important for me. He says,
yeah, I saw that. That's...
Well, he can get three fights in this year, which would be welcome. Three fights, you are one of the more active fighters in boxing. So I don't know. I'm not just trying to look.
Hey, when Teo's active, he's dangerous. That was the Taylor fight. Like, he came back and he didn't look great against Campa, but he had just fought, you know, and Santa, Sandor Martin, he had those two fights before the Taylor fight. Taylor had been out for the ring for a year plus. So it actually worked out when because he's a counterpuncher, because he's a trigger puller, firing guy who's a counterpuncher. It's important for him to be active. So an active Teofimo is good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
looking great, I know it kills his brand, but like, be active, because when the big fights come, apparently he always wins those.
Are you going to be able to talk to him like one on one, or are you going to be getting in there too late?
I'm getting in there too late because I'm working Friday night, so I won't.
You should you should be able to find him. Like, if you wanted to, like, you could pull some rank.
Well, I can go in the back prior. Actually, probably not, because I'll be calling all the fights.
You're getting there Friday?
No. The fight's here Friday. I'm getting there Saturday morning. Yeah, so I'm
surprised ESPN was cool with that.
Well, when they first called me, I said, listen, I'm working in DC the night before. If as long as you're okay with me coming in day of, which I'm surprised they said yes. But I've worked with them so much, and they all told me, they're like, well, we know you know the deal. We don't need you to be there, whatever, you know. And they were like, there's tons of one way flights from DC to Miami, so it's no big deal. I was like, all right,
you know what, cool. I'll do, I'll fly to Miami right now, and I'll be your replacement if necessary.
Yeah, that won't fly at all. You should have seen
with you, dude.
It does not matter. The ESPN onboarding process, it's been insane. Forget it. Like, this is Disney, bro. Like, you're not,
I know how you are with it. You are with invoices. You're never gonna get paid for this.
No, forget it.
The Zone, when I did the Zone show, and they're like, the MVP people pay me right away. Like, they're awesome. I'm already in their system. I did the Zone show for Serrano in Puerto Rico. And the Zone freaking onboarding process, it was like 15 steps. It was like three different websites. I was almost like, you know what? I don't know. Like, you guys can just keep it. I don't need to pay. I don't want to sit here for an hour trying to figure out how I can get paid. Obviously, I did it because I like money. But
yeah.
I'm curious how Teofimo is this week. Like, I got to maybe check out some interviews with him. And, like, this has got to be a little bit of a blow to his ego. Like, this guy has a massive ego. It's just how, like, Top Rank in ESPN, like, just kind of like how they're operating. It's great that it's on regular ESPN. Like, he should look good. But you got to figure he wants, like, a big fight. Everyone around him.
Well, he's calling out Crawford. Which is making more and more sense in my mind as time goes on.
Crawford's at 154.
I know, but that was my initial, like, come on, this is stupid. But also, it's keeping him in the news. It's keeping him excited because he needs that. He needs the excitement. He needs to feel like he's in a dangerous fight, like we've been saying this whole time. And, you know, it's crazier things have happened. You know, Crawford can't find, you know, one of these big fights. You know, he's at least putting his, he's throwing his hat in the ring of it. So,
Yeah, it's funny because you have, it's like a chain of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like a, you got Teofimo, smaller guy, looking for Crawford. Then you got Crawford looking for Canelo. It's like a little love triangle. Like, this guy likes this girl, but that girl's not thinking about him. That girl's thinking about this other guy. Like, Teofimo wants Crawford. Crawford ain't looking back. He's looking to Canelo. So, like, I don't see that ever happening, especially with Crawford campaigning.
Listen, using the female reference, it's like everyone shoots your shot for a higher level lady.
True.
So they're all kind of doing that. They're all like looking, like Tio's looking for someone above him to fight to get excited for it. We all do that. We always want to fight guys who are perceived as being better. One, because it gets us excited, and two, you could take over their position. So like that's always the case. And you know, these top level guys, when you reach that upper echelon, when you're trying to reach that upper echelon money wise, because there's one thing, there's fame, and then there's money. There's two different things. You can be one without the other in this sport, and we've seen that, and we talked about it many times. When you're trying to achieve both, you got to knock off the big time guys.
To quote the great Michael Scott, you miss 90% of the shots you don't take.
Boom. That's been Dan Michael in the DMs. Scott. That's how Dan rolls in the DMs.
Firing them off at a strata pace, 75.
Dan has that quote on his ceiling when he lays in his bed DMing late at night.
Live, laugh, love as well. I like Teofimo late stoppage. That's my pick. I think he looks good. I think Claggett does his job and is a somewhat dangerous punching bag. No offense, Claggett. I don't know anything about you, but 102 punches around is cool. Teofimo gets a stoppage, then calls out everyone under the sun. And I might actually make a little parlay this weekend.
I think Claggett's going to actually turn up better than people expect. I think he's a tough out. He's been on a roll lately. He's certainly turned a corner in his career at some point reason. I could see a distance fight, and I could see him actually making it a little interesting and itchy certain times in the middle rounds. But I think the never being 10 rounds thing is, or being going past 10 rounds is a big issue. Teofimo's ability to control space and the action in a fight. Never seen Teofimo get overwhelmed. You know, even though like Kambosos was an overwhelming type guy, he didn't try to overwhelm Teo that night. He actually boxed smart. And counterpunched well. He fought a very, very different fight than we've ever seen him before. And he just seemed to have it that night. So, we've never seen Tio overwhelmed. I think he just hits too hard. I think his counterpunching is too sharp. So I don't see him overwhelming him per se, but I do see there are moments when the pressure, you know, pushes Tio.
Yeah. Interesting. I lean stoppage. I always lean. It's like betting the over in sport.
The thing about Tio, because he's such an explosive guy and such a sharp counterpuncher, like he can always hurt you. And like I said, he's a good finisher. So if there's enough opportunities, and if he could really, if he can hurt Claggett, he might get him out early. Honestly, if he can hurt him early, he might stop him early.
I would kind of want to see that. Like I'm all for that. I'm all for like some momentum for Teofimo. I'm all for like a demonstrative moment. I'm all for him calling out these guys, getting himself back into the mix, and having that.
Don't forget it. If he puts out a vintage Tio, you remember the knockouts that he was posting at 135 early on? They were crazy. I mean, face planting guys like over and over, like every fight, Magdalano. And then following with that hook from Magdalano. Jeez, the left hook over the top.
Comey one came up
sweeping.
On my,
the Comey one was on my, brilliant.
Both
brilliant
guys
fight.
Rights at the same time.
But Tio was just a little bit better positioning.
And that's when he won his title, and then it kind of was like, I wouldn't say downhill from there, but he changed.
I spoke to somebody on Richard Comey. Richard's a friend of mine, a sparring partner, a training partner of mine, and I talked to someone who was on his team that night, and they're like, oh, if we had just gotten there first, it could have been the other way around. And I was like, nah, no, that wasn't you didn't see what I saw. That wasn't like, oh, he just got there first. He set that up like that. Like that's how fast he pulls that trigger.
He's got that in him. Teofimo definitely has that in him. I want to see him win big. He's good for boxing, as crazy as he is. All right, Chris, safe travels. Enjoy Pro Box. A big one of Pro Box. I'll be watching.
Hey, Carlos Gongora, Lester Martinez, co-main. That's a fight, dude. That's a fight. I just saw all those guys on the scales. Got some looking fit.
Nice. And then over to Miami on ESPN. I'll be tuned in like a proud dad. I'll be taking pictures of the TV.
Wow, standing right in front of the TV. Me and Tess.
I'm going to be standing in front of the TV like my dad does, and I'm going to be like, there he is.
No, you should try and superimpose a photo with you of like up, it'd be a photo of me and Tess, and just slide yourself in there.
Oh, man. I would love to be on a call with him. That's going to be awesome. Miami and DC, and a big weekend of fights. Phoenix, Arizona, over on DAZN Boxing.
Yeah.
It's starting to pick up now. July is going to be busy. Enjoy the fights, guys. If you do gamble, don't gamble too much. And use DraftKings.com or DraftKings, whatever. Use our code, InsideBoxing. All right, Chris, safe travels. Enjoy the fights. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay in the DMs because it's summertime and I'm feeling fit.
Feel the rush. Live thoroughbred racing is happening now at Laurel Park, the Players Track. Every Friday through Sunday, the gates open at 11 a.m. and the action starts at noon. Free admission, fast-paced racing, and real wagering excitement from start to finish. Pick your horses, place your bets, chase the win. From live racing and simulcast action to great food, special events, and nonstop sports viewing, Laurel Park is where the action lives. Come, win, play. Visit LaurelPark.com.